All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
Whoa, that's right. Guess what it is? Guess what it is? Rich.
I think it's Wheel Wednesday.
Is it Wheel Wednesday?
Wheel Wednesday.
I'm amazed.
Yeah.
Because when it's Wheel Wednesday, I get so excited. So everybody, welcome to another beautiful Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. I am Luis from Koenig Wheels, and this is...
I'm Rich from Koenig Wheels. Hello, everyone.
So yeah, man, we have a really good podcast today. We actually have a great guest that's going to join us briefly. But before I do that, I want to do some maintenance because if you guys are joining us for the first time or you're new to our podcast, I just want to give you an update of what's going on over here. So last week we had a podcast where it was Rich and Scott, and they were talking about EVs and its effect on the automotive industry. I think that's a good podcast. Go check it out. As well as we dropped a piece of content on Friday, which is, what exactly was it?
Lug nuts.
That's right. So you guys asked us so many damn questions about lug nuts that we decided to make a whole FAQ video about it where we answer all those questions. Because literally, I mean, how much can you get about lug nuts? Everybody wants to know about nuts. Pause. You hear Max in the background. Whoa. But anyways, but without further ado, also, don't forget to like and subscribe every video that you guys are watching. Because if you're not and you're watching, don't be a cornball. But anyways, let's bring in our guest, automotive YouTuber. And honestly, this guy is making sick content right now on YouTube. Make sure to check him out. He's at Boosted John. We're going to introduce John. No. I am the worst introducer ever, John. Sorry about that.
That's all good, man. What's up, guys?
What's up, man? How's everything? How's everything going, man?
Going good, man. It's going good.
Man, look at that. The background looks good and everything.
Yeah, it's good.
You know? So, quick, you know, because I want to just get into exactly what you do. You are an automotive YouTuber. By that, I mean you do builds and but so much more. Tell us a little bit about how you started the YouTube channel, how that came about, because I know it's been about 5 years that you've been grinding on doing this. But tell us why you started and how.
Yeah, wow. So back 5 years ago, you know, I watched a lot of automotive YouTube. Some of my favorite channels were TJ Hunt, Jin Jiang, you know, the OG guys, the guys that kind of brought up the automotive YouTube world, right? And I was just watching their lifestyle and I was like, man, I can't think of a better life than waking up every day, working on my own cars, making them awesome, right? And just like living freely. So I was at that moment, I was like, dude, I want that. And I just started working towards it. So
nice, nice.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that we got to watch when we were going back on your YouTube channel is you started with a Civic Si. You actually have something very in common with my friend here because he actually built himself a Civic Si.
Yeah. John had a FG2. I had a FG4. So similar. I also had an EG at one point too.
Oh, that's
so
right.
You know, pretty similar in that regards. But yeah, tell us a little bit about the Si build.
What happened to it? Yeah, and do you still have it?
No, so that was the first car that I ever bought, like enthusiast car I ever bought by myself. Like that was my first car and I loved it. Still to this day, I love it. It had pretty high mileage. It had about 178,000 miles at the time and it was just too high. And I wanted to start my channel and start getting serious about like engine modifications and builds and stuff. And it just was a little bit too high of mileage for me to justify doing that, at least at the time, because I didn't know how to swap engines and stuff like I do now. So I was like, oh, if I start modifying this thing and it blows up or has engine issues, I'm going to be in trouble. So I ended up getting rid of it. But funny enough, I'm actually, this is a little sneak peek, low key information here, but I'm looking to get another one. Like
nice.
That is going to be my next car that I pick up. It's going to be probably FA5. So the four-door,
yep.
8th gen. Yeah.
Sweet.
Nice, man. I love those cars. I have a lot of history with them. They really hold a special place in my heart.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, well, they're so good. The interior, like just how they drive. Like, oh, man, it's just such a good car.
Little stuff like those cars still had the iconic Honda double dashboard. I mean, I love that. That interior, it's awesome.
Dude, and the seats are so good. Like, oh, dude, it's just such a good car.
So one thing I noticed off the channel, you know, and this is more of a recent thing because I noticed that you obviously have the EG and you're talking about the EK, which I do want to talk about eventually. But before we do that, I noticed that the channel, I guess, has gotten towards a route of Civic-centric. But what I've noticed also as well is that you've actually worked on Mustangs GTs. You've done some BMW stuff. Like, is there a specific reason why you lean towards Civic, or is it just right now that's what you're working on and you're looking to do future things and future different chassis? Man,
that's a great question. And I actually wonder this myself all the time. Like, how did I end up doing Civics? Like, honestly, I just love them. I really do. There's nothing really more to it. Every time I'm scrolling Facebook Marketplace or something, I'm just like, oh, look at that Civic, dude. It's so clean. You know, I just love finding awesome 90s Hondas. They're just so fun to me. Super easy to work on as far as cars go. So much versatility, so many different ways you can modify them. I'm actually working on a video right now where I went to a Cars and Coffee and cruise with some friends and went to the drag strip after with the EK. And it's just, there's a moment in that video where I'm cruising with a guy in a EK coupe with a K20 NA, another guy in a EG hatch K20 turbo, and then me in my EK hatch H22 Euro R NA, right? And it's just like three different chassis, three different engine setups. It's just so cool. I love the versatility of the platform, and they're just so fun to drive. So
for sure, for sure.
No, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. No. That's a good segue to kind of us talking about, because we obviously, our relationship kind of started with the Civic EK that you have right now, the hatch. One of the things that I find very unique about this build as specific to others, because I've seen, you know, obviously we work with other like YouTubers that work on Civics, like kind of like Aki and even Eric Coutel and stuff like that. And a lot of them do K swaps. It's just a very like straight, they go straight for a K swap. But I noticed with this build, and I watched the progression of it, but let's talk about it right here. It's very different. You're doing it differently with this one. Explain to us why you kind of went with an H series or stood with an A series. Let's just say that much.
Right. So I obviously, when I bought the car, it had an H in it. Yeah. I've never had an H series car before. And way back in the day when I was first boosting my EG and stuff and, you know, playing with B series, I always saw videos of H series and it's really a simple thing, but like I would see the engine bay and I just loved how that valve cover looked in the engine bay. I just thought it looked so cool. And I always kind of thought like, oh, if I ever ended up in an H series, that'd be really cool. But I never really thought to like seek one out. And so when this car popped up and I saw it was H, it was super clean. I was like, dude, I got to try it. Yeah. Picked up the car, drove it 10 hours home from Arkansas, which was ridiculous. It was on drag coilovers, right? Like every bump I would like lift out of my seat. It was so funny. Anyway, just driving that car with that engine, it's just such a fun engine. Like the torque is not Honda. It's like, it's not Honda torque. It's like you actually have torque. So it's responsive. The sounds it makes are just amazing. The VTEC crossover is so good. Mm-hmm. And I guess just from that little bit of experience of driving that car for a little while, it kind of made me fall in love with the H. There are obviously downfalls to the H. It's heavier, you know its limits. It's not the most reliable Honda engine ever. But when that initial engine blew up and I got this new Euro R, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I was going to K-swap it at the time. I don't know if I was going to try to find another H, fix the one I had, go B-series, no clue. And then just this, one of my subscribers, name's Alex, great guy, just reached out to me and he was like, dude, I have an H22 Euro R. And I was like, how much you want for it? He's like, dude, just a t-shirt and a sticker. And I was like, no way. So this H-series, I would say the reason I'm still in H is mostly because of Alex. I probably would have kept this car down for the winter and worked towards K swapping, but I'm really glad that it's still H because it's so fun. It's such a fun engine.
Now, a question that I have for that is, I mean, I'm just curious. I don't know, you know, if you mind me digging a little further into that, but did you have a prior relationship with him with Alex prior to that, or you know, he just reached out to you and you know gave you that incredible offer?
Never met him before. He's never even sent me messages on Instagram before that. He just saw my video, saw that I needed an engine, and was just like, dude, I have one. And I'm like Chicago local. He lived like kind of in the city. Mm-hmm. So I just drove down there one day after work with my buddy, threw it in the back of my truck, and yeah, it was insane. It's insane.
That's incredible.
So
I think one of my favorite parts about this series that you're doing with the H is, if you really think about it, man, when it comes to Civic builds and stuff like that, it's few and far in between when you end up finding H series stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you literally can go on YouTube right now and put K24 and you'll find an array of videos up there about this. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that you're doing something different, I think honestly, that's the reason why I was excited when Rich brought it up and was like, yo, he's doing H, an H on this. I was like, oh man, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because nobody does it. It's very innovative and I think it's dope. You know what I mean? That you're doing that.
I have a little bit of a thing with that too, because one of my friends used to have a Prelude and it came with an H22.
Yeah.
And I can vouch for that, John, that it does have probably the best VTEC crossover I've ever heard in a Honda. And that engine is a lot of fun. Even Scott was telling us that he had some experience with an H22 swap on a CRX, but he was saying he ran into some of the issues that you were mentioning before, like how it's a very heavy engine. It was very, heavy and maybe too heavy for that smaller platform of a CRX.
So not to dig too deep, because I know we want to keep it on YouTube as far as like the journey for the EK, but is this where it ends, or what exactly do you have planned? I know it's going to hit the track, I think, right? Is that what you're planning for it?
Yeah, so that's ultimately why I got it. I ended up going to Grid Life Midwest Fest earlier in the season, and I just had a blast, like going for ride-alongs, watching racing, and that was kind of my first experience with like an actual dry track day. The first time I ever went to the track was with my S2000, and it rained, so it was like I didn't have a track experience. So went to Grid Life Midwest Fest. I didn't have a track car at the time. I just had my EG. And went for some ride-alongs, and I was like, dude, I need to do this. Mm. And so there was another event coming up about a month later, and all the same guys that I went to Grid Life with were going to go to that event as well. And I was like, dude, I'm going to go find a car for this event. I was like, I'm going to go find a car. I don't care where I have to go. I flew to Arkansas, right, got that EK. And I was like, I'm driving that car. I'm going to prep it and drive it in this event. And I did that. Unfortunately, it blew up on its second lap. But I did it, and that was really cool. So the plan is to take what I have now, the Euro R, and you know, it's the chassis is already prepped, like brake pads are in, like it's a track setup, right? So now it's to go actually get some seat time. So I have a track day planned for September 18th at Gingerman.
Nice.
Be hitting that. Should be pretty fun. Hopefully the car does well and it's a nice redemption opportunity. And in the meantime, like I'm going to pick up slicks for the EG, and I figure like, hey, I might as well go and try to set some times at the drag strip too. So it's just kind of a do everything car. Like really it is. It's amazing. Just this last weekend with going to the drag strip, drove it an hour to Cars and Coffee, drove it another 40 minutes to the drag strip, made two passes, drove it 2 hours home. Like it's incredible how this car is doing so far. So,
man. Yeah, trust me, we're over here and we're excited for the journey of the build and whatnot. So, you know, we're obviously rooting for what you're doing, but at the same time, I want to see this car on the track, and I'm sure it's going to be a beast on the track. But another thing that I kind of wanted to get into, and I think it's one of those things that I find important because, like, how can I say, like, it's not easy to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to start something, because being an automotive YouTuber or any type of YouTuber, you're kind of counting on yourself. And at the end of the day, you're really being an entrepreneur. Everything that you're doing, you're literally doing it on your own. You're funding it on your own, you know, and eventually you're in hopes that eventually down the line, you get sponsors and stuff to kind of jump on the bills and whatnot and help you. But what I wanted to ask is, in the 5-year journey, what's been kind of the most difficult things that you've been dealing with when it comes to becoming a YouTuber?
Oh, that is such a good question. It's gotta be just I gotta find the right word for it, but like determination and resilience, because you like, I just wrote a, I can't wait to release this video, but I just wrote a 7-page, 2,600 word script for a video on this exact topic. Mm-hmm. But being a YouTuber, man, it's hard. Like yeah. it has gotta be one of the hardest things I've ever committed to doing in my life. And so just being able to stick with it and not lose motivation and just keep pushing yourself to create and make videos, like that has got to be the hardest thing. It's just like staying with it, because it's so easy. Like all I have to do if I'm just like feeling like taking it easy is just not make videos, right? I can just go like go fishing or whatever, and like, you know, go airsofting with my friends. I used to be into airsoft. I don't do it anymore because I don't have time. But making those sacrifices and like staying with it is probably the hardest part of being a YouTuber, is like just sacrificing and staying focused. Yeah. So
I think one of my favorite things that you say at the end of your videos is plan, commit, execute, and attain your goals. And I think our goals, you say, because you're talking to the rest of it. Look at that. Hey.
Hey, there you go.
Which if you're watching
every
this,
day make, at work, boys.
Which if you're watching this, make sure to support our boy. He sells merch, man. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm copping a tee soon, too. So
yeah, of course.
But, yo, man, like, you know, that message itself, you know, it's one of those things that when I heard you say it, it made me realize that, you know, I'm glad that you're with us. You know what I mean? Because it's the message itself is what we try to do here every day. You know, it's, you know, and also put it out there that at the end of the day, hard work pays off. You know what I mean? So the more, how can I say, as long as you're consistent and you keep it going, you can achieve anything. You know what I mean? So that's awesome that you're putting that message out there, man.
Yeah, I heard, I don't know the quote exactly, but it's something along the lines of like, how do you become successful? It's like, well, do it long enough where everybody else quits, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that, yep. It's so true, right? Like yeah. anyone can start a YouTube channel, but it's like, are you really gonna do it?
Yeah, man, because consistency is key in anything that you do, man. If as long as you keep it going and you're passionate about it, you know, things come and go. You know, people will come and want to support you just because of your genuine, like being genuine, you know. So, but with that, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, to move on to something else, a couple other questions that we wanted to ask, John, one question was, we know you went out to Arkansas for the EK. We were curious, how did you find it, though? How did you
marketplace?
So you were just searching, man, big radius.
Yeah. Well, I'll just sit there and I'll just drop the pin just as far as I'm willing to go. Like I'll just Arkansas, 10 hours. I could probably make it in a day. You know, I could like fly out there really early and be home by like midnight, 1 a.m. type of thing. Yeah. And, like I calculate that, right? So I'm like dropping the pin in places where I could make the whole operation in a day.
That's funny.
Like I work a full time job, right? So like I have to be at work on Monday. So it's like, I got to calculate this stuff out. And that's my strategy. So I just, like, I'm Chicago local. So I just drop the pin somewhere south of the Rust Belt. You got to drop it south of the Rust Belt. And yeah, that's how I found it. So I reached out to the previous owner and I was like, dude, your car's awesome. I will buy my plane ticket tonight and I'll fly out tomorrow morning. And he was like, all right, like, do you want to see the car on FaceTime or something? And I was like, it sounds good. So, like,
you didn't know the guy at all.
No, and he like picked me up from the airport, took me to his house, showed me the car, paid him, signed the title, drove it home.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's actually really nice.
Yeah.
Another question we had was, when you first, because you've been doing this for about 5 years, when you first started it, did you originally like, you know, be like, oh, I'm gonna fully commit to YouTube, I'm gonna start making all these big you know videos and stuff like that, or did you just kind of start filming yourself and then it just kind of took off?
The latter, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know what I was doing at all. I was just like, I want to do this, but like I have no idea how to do it, right? So just bought a camera. I bought a GoPro at the time. I should have just used my iPhone. That's what I'd recommend to anybody else, like who's trying to start a YouTube channel. Don't buy a camera. Use your iPhone, right? Like it's the best camera, way better than a GoPro for this type of stuff. Anyway, I bought a GoPro and just started like filming anything I was doing. Like, oh, like changing headlights. So, like, how many videos are there of people changing headlights? Mm-hmm. Like, who cares at this point, right? But I wanted to film something, so I did. And I just kept going until I landed on the right chassis, the EG, and picked the right mods for the build, and it just worked. It's kind of like the saying, you know, like throw darts at the wall and see what sticks, whatever that saying is, right? It's like that. Yeah, just something will work eventually, and you just gotta keep trying things. So
nice, man. So, and sorry for those, if anybody's listening and it sounds like I'm shouting, it's because one of our mics isn't working. So I'm trying to make sure that John can hear us from the other mic. So I apologize. But anyways, so one of the things that I know that you and Rich had conversations about is what the future of the channel looks like. Now, I know you have ideas and stuff like that that you want to do when it comes to the Boosted John channel. Is there some of that that you would like to share with us, that or builds that you're looking to do? I know you had aspirations for other type of track builds.
I think one of the most obvious things would be is that Boosted John, are we going to see a Boosted H series?
No. Actually, no. Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of contradictory, but no, I don't want to boost the EK ever. Mm-hmm. I want to keep that car NA for its entire life in my ownership. Boost is super fun. Boost mm-hmm. is like, you guys know, like it's so fun to boost a car and rip it and go fast, but NA is so much more reliable and robust. And if I can take a car out on the track and turn as many laps as I possibly can for an entire day and not have any issues, that's way more valuable to me than hearing choo-choo noises. You know, like I want to drive my cars. And for the past like 2.5 years, I would say 2.5 years, I've basically just been blowing up engines and replacing them. And it's just getting old at this point, right? So I just want to start driving. So no, the H will not be boosted. Eventually it will probably end up going K, because mm-hmm. I would like to develop myself as a driver in that car and potentially become competitive in some form, whether it's Grid Life, what's their time attack, Club TR, yep. something like that, you know. An H I know isn't going to be the most competitive engine in those classes. Right. We just know that. It's limited by its weight. So the car will probably end up K eventually. And I would, as far as the channel goes, I would just like to, I've been doing a lot of filming of the events that are occurring to me, right? Like car blows up, I'm filming myself fixing it because I have to. I want to start creating more. I don't want to be like reacting to what's happening, you know, filming like just what I'm doing. I'd rather actually create videos, think of ideas, right? So that's why I was talking about earlier, I wrote a script for a video. Like I'm gonna create that from scratch, right? I wrote a script, I'm gonna go shoot the footage like specifically for that video. So I want to create more instead of just document.
Nice.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, man. One of the things we also wanted to ask about was your relationship with Jinjiam. How did you guys meet? I know you guys are in the same area. So is that just, you know, you guys met through the grapevine? How does that work?
Yeah, I love this question, actually. He's one of my best friends, like still to this day. He lives in Georgia now. Yeah. So like we just, you know, we talk. But one of my best friends. And I think I had like 1,000 subscribers at the time. I had just bought my EG. It was a bone stock Integra LS engine. So B18B, non-VTEC. And I had bought an eBay turbo kit for it. And it was the middle of the winter. I didn't have anywhere to work at the time. And I sent him a really well-written email. And I was just like, I didn't know him personally at the time. But I sent him like a really well-written email. I was like, hey, my name's John. I have a YouTube channel. Like I have a EG hatch, just bought a turbo kit. Don't have anywhere to work on it. Can we do the install at your shop? And you can film it as a series on your channel, right? And like, that might sound like, why would you want to do that? But like, obviously we're YouTubers, like we get paid for our content, right? So he's going to make some money off the build. And then, you know, I'm going to have a place to do my turbo kit, make a great connection. And basically from there, we just became good friends. And I was out at his shop all the time working on the EG. And yeah, I was sad when he left, man. I was sad when he went to Georgia, but yeah. He seems like he's doing really well out there. His Honda Fit build, I know you guys posted some photos of it, dude. The Honda Fit build is killing it for him. That looks really cool. And then his Eclipse, obviously, is just mind-blowing with the mid-engine 4G63. It's just nuts. So yeah, it's yeah, we just became friends from, I just reached out and here we are.
Yeah, so. It's funny because he was the one that kind of mentioned you in the beginning before, like he had mentioned you a while ago saying, hey, you know, I have a buddy, John, he's starting his YouTube channel. If you guys can, you know, work with him or whatnot. And we were like, of course, man. That he's one of those people that, you know, obviously you know him well enough to understand that he's, if you need help or whatever it may be, or just a friendship in general, he's one of those guys that you can just reach out to. And he's very, very responsive and very dope with that. Like even with us, he's been working with us for so long. He's always willing to jump on the podcast or create content for us and, you know, cross promote whatever it is. He's just always down. So yeah, man, that's it figures that you guys would be friends because it seems like you have similar energy and we're excited to have you on board, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah, we get along pretty well. It's fun hanging out with them. So,
cool. So before we let you go, we had a few fan questions that we wanted to ask you, and then we'll let you get back to work because I know you have to get back to work in a few. So, yeah. So okay. So first question I want to ask you is if you could collaborate with any other automotive YouTuber, who would it be and why?
Ooh,
you can't say Jinjium though. Question. You can't say Jinjium either. Because you've already done it.
Oh, okay. This is actually a great question. I think in the past, I probably would have said TJ Hunt. And like today, I think that it would be hard for me to not say TJ Hunt because he's one of the main people who inspired me to start doing this in the first place. But just based on our content, I don't think that our styles really align. So it wouldn't really make sense. But All Day Anthony, you guys, sponsor All Day Anthony.
Yeah, dude.
I love his videos. Yeah, I know we do like very different types of mods. You know, he's more like in depth, like very clean, very simple mods, and then I'm like pulling a whole engine and doing a swap and dyno tune and stuff all in a video. But I love his videos. Yeah. Makes great stuff, and he seems like a really cool dude. So
he is.
Yeah, probably All Day Anthony.
Nice.
You probably have Max fist bumping in the other room with that answer.
All right. So here, and this is actually a good segue to, because I know you're going back to work, and I don't know if you want to put your work stuff out there, but we know what you do for work. So are you a fan of EVs, and will the channel ever do anything EV-centric?
I won't say too much on whether or not I'm a fan of EVs. EVs have their place. They're very cool. The tech is very cool.
Yeah.
The tech is awesome though, I will say that. But as far as EVs on the channel goes, I do have a secret idea for an EV swap in the future, but I kind of want to keep it low key. Just, I don't think it's been done before and I think it would be so dope. So I may or may not do it. If I do it, you'll know it when you see it, and it's gonna be awesome. So
hell yeah, yeah. We actually have a few drivers that we're working that are in grid life right now, that are tracking Teslas and stuff like that, and seeing the progression of how they do it, and it's just crazy. You know what I mean? Obviously, things are changing every day, especially with the EV coming into the automotive industry. Obviously, that's what everybody's talking about. So, but seeing it, I mean, let's just say we're not like, we don't know where we're at when it comes to stuff like that, but as car fans, we're always loving seeing the development of how things could go further, you know. So so what are your thoughts on the new Civic Type R from what we know so far?
Love it.
Love it.
Simple.
Love every bit.
What about compared to the outgoing model?
I love it. I think it's probably my favorite modern Civic. Like it looks so good, seriously, like just everything about it I love. There's almost nothing I've seen or heard about it that I didn't like. So if I could get one, I would get one. They're just so cool.
I think I would agree with you. I think they really knocked it out of the park, to be honest. Until we really start seeing them on the road, I guess we won't really be too sure. But if I can get my hands on one, I would do it too.
I don't know if you guys saw that render, but there was like a green one. It looked like British Racing Green type deal, and it was lowered with like bronze wheels. Nice. I don't know what company posted the render, but it looked so good modified. Like stock, I think it looks awesome, but I think those things are going to look so good modified.
I think Max is trying to pull up a picture, and it did.
He's trying to.
Oh, there it is. We could see it now. Ooh.
The green one?
Yeah. I think we're looking at it right now, and it has a, wait, hold on. Wait, he's pulling up some renders.
I think of British green and bronze wheels. I think of the newer Beamers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Yeah. Anyways.
But yeah. All right, John. Well, again, John, just because we want to get you back to work, we appreciate the time that you spent with us here. We're really excited to see the direction of the EK. And yeah, if you're here watching us, make sure to like and subscribe his videos as well, which is, what's the YouTube channel? YouTube.com/... I know I had
it's like now. John Honda or something. It's like YouTube/John Honda. I don't know. It's something like that. I said it so long.
Goes by Boosted John.
Boosted John. Yeah, just go on YouTube.
Boosted John, it'll come up.
There you go. We appreciate the time that you took with us today, and we're excited to keep working with you, man. And yeah, we wish you the best, my brother.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. It was fun.
Thank you, brother. All right, we'll see you soon, and yeah, have a good one.
All right, see you later, John.
You too. Cool.
Yeah, all man. Right. So I always like to mention the reason why I like having conversation with new people, and also the fact that he is building something, like, not that it's from scratch. Obviously, 5 years, but 5 years is not a long time, man.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, how far he's gotten with his channel, honestly, is always inspirational for me, because I wouldn't even know how to start that. You know what I mean?
When you're in that situation, if you have a team or other people helping you, that's one thing.
Yes.
If you're working, you know, in on a driveway by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all on you.
And that's the one thing that we always try to emphasize when it comes to sponsorships. Like, when John approached us about sponsorship, honestly, he did it the right way. He was, you know, he came with a proposal, he came with referrals, and not only that, when we got introduced him, and obviously, as you could tell on screen, the man is a cool dude, man, and that's what matters the most. If you're doing things with a passion and not doing it with, like, how can I say, like, corniness behind it, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people are out here trying to make money or whatever it may be, you know what I mean, and they're doing it with that motive, then it kind of makes what you're putting out there not good. You could just tell that you're doing it for something different than just appreciation and love for the culture. And to me, Boosted John represents that. You know, he represents love of the culture, and he does it because he loves this stuff. And then everything else that comes with it is an incentive.
Of course. I agree.
Yeah. With that said, guys, thank you so much for joining us on another beautiful Behind the Wheel podcast, Wheel Wednesday podcast. We hope that you join us here next Wednesday. Also, make sure to tune in at 2 p.m. live on our Instagram, where either myself, Scott, Rich, Max go on live and answer questions for you right there directly. And every Wednesday, we're here at 3 p.m. live as well with a guest or with a topic about cars and whatnot. So make sure you join us there. And then Fridays, we drop a piece of content as well, where it could be anything from... I don't know, lug nuts to what's the best JDM cars out there. You know what I mean? And also drop some suggestions if you want us to do a specific video about a question that you have, or I don't know, a topic that you want to hear about. Make sure to drop it in the comments, and maybe that'll be the next video we do.
What's this Friday?
This Friday we're doing a car anatomy of Taylor Hall's C6 drift build that he races in Formula Drift. He's actually a pro. That build is super dope. It's actually a new chassis that he's on from last year. He was actually on Chevy. I forget what the build is. He was on a different type. He was a different chassis, and this year he decided to jump on the C6. And honestly, dude, what he's done with that car is insane. So obviously, you know, if you know anything about cars, making a C6 into a drift build is no easy task, and this man did it in a year's time. So make sure to go check out that build, because it's insane. But yes, with that said, thank you guys for joining us. I am Luis.
I am Rich.
And have a good one.
Take care.